Welcome back to Ramsey's Recaps. I feel like we should just jump in because this is a big episode and I have a lot of thoughts and feelings.
Yes, but you have to introduce the episode first.
Welcome to Ramsey's Recaps, the podcast where we recap everything Gordon Ramsay. And right now we're recapping the new season of Kitchen Nightmares. So it's season 1, episode 5, The Juicy Box.
I'm Alana.
And we're hosting this episode, per usual.
As all the other episodes, yes. Sorry, I know you hate it when I make you give context, but you have to assume it's someone's first time listening.
If this is your first time listening, go back and listen to all 300 other episodes too, please.
But also, we're happy you're here if this is your first episode.
Yeah, welcome.
Don't go away.
Welcome to the party.
Please stay. We're begging you. We are begging you on bended knee to please stay. God, please.
Putting out a feelers. Nope. Putting feelers out there. Should we start a Patreon? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, this weekend went to an event hosted by Patreon, so now I know all the ins and outs, theoretically.
Nice. Now you're an expert. You're going to make mad money.
I am a hashtag expert. I saw Zach Kornfeld from the Try Guys teach a masterclass, and then he disappeared into the ether, and we never saw him again.
Good for him.
Yeah. He may have heard me nervous shit in the bathroom, though. That's a fun story.
Do you want to tell it, or is that the end of the story?
They at the event space, they were all gender bathrooms, and I got there fairly early in the day and was just like, I was so nervous to be there, and I was just unloading like a monstrous nervous shit. And I knew that Zach Kornfeld was going to be around, but he wasn't teaching his class for another like 3 or 4 hours. And I so unmistakably heard his voice come in. And because he was with another guy that was like, hey, Zach, what's up? And he was like, hey, man. And they had a conversation. Well, I'm just like fucking unloading in this toilet. Like my guts are out of me. Every single gut I've ever had is spilling out of me. And it's like audible. And I was like, this is on one hand, the darkest timeline. But on the other hand, probably the timeline that he would appreciate the most.
Can you recreate that on your TikTok?
I could. All he did, I think, was like come in and wash his hands and go. So it wasn't like we were ever going to have like a moment. But yeah, I did, you know, share a room with Zach Kornfeld.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Proud of
Try Guys fame. If you care about that sort of thing. I do. I'm a big name dropper.
Care.
Because I have, like, two names to drop in my whole life, so.
And one of them is Lance Bass, weirdly.
Yeah, Lance Bass is kind of my cousin.
We'll talk about that later. I feel like we've already talked about that.
Probably, but, yeah, ask me if you care, ask me.
Oh, you know what it was? If you go subscribe to Alana's Patreon and listen to one of the off-the-clock episodes that I'm on, we definitely talked about the whole Lance Bass situation in one of those.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely sort of my cousin by marriage. He, not enough to where he would know, like, who I am, but I certainly know who he is. So, you know.
Every millennial and Gen Xer knows who Lance Bass is.
That is correct.
If you're under the age of 27, you probably don't know who that is.
He's sort of the king of TikTok. He's, like, in everybody's TikToks at all times these days.
Is he? I'm not on that side of TikTok.
Oh, well, I'm certainly on Lance Bass TikTok.
I am not.
Because, you know, familial.
Because he's your family. Mia Familia, as they used to say in that, what's that show? Cake Boss.
Remember Cake Boss? Oh my god. Cake Boss was so important to me. Cake Boss was so important to me.
I watched that show all the fucking time as a kid.
Oh, it was so good. It was so important.
It was one of those shows that my dad liked because we would watch Cake Boss, Swamp People, American Pickers, Pawn Stars, and then Duck Dynasty. Those were the shows we fucking watched.
Oh my god.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, thank you for unlocking the memory. That was
of Cake Boss.
super latent for me. That is Cake
Next
Boss.
Next time you're here, we should go to the Cake Boss, like, bakery in Times Square.
You say that like I haven't been there, like, every other time I've been to New York.
I've never been inside of there, but I've, like, walked past it a bunch.
I've absolutely been there with my family when we went in, like, 2016 to see Hamilton.
Oh, well, another name drop moment for Alana.
What, Hamilton? Alexander Hamilton?
Yeah, you met Alexander. No, because in college, I remember when you saw it, you were insufferable, because you were like, I saw Hamilton at the Richard Rogers Theater, or whatever the fuck.
In my defense, yes, I did see it, did see Hamilton at the Richard Rogers Theater in New York City, New York. That was because it had, like, just come out. I saw it, like, days after it won every Tony in existence.
It was right after Lynn had stopped being in it too, right?
I missed Lynn and Leslie Odom Jr. by like 2 days.
Bummer.
Which, I mean, the people I saw were incredible, of course, because it was Hamilton. But yeah, it was right in Hamilton's heyday where I could say, I just saw Hamilton at the Richard Rogers Theater in New York City, New York, and people would think that was like a flex.
Yeah, because the year was 2016.
Yes.
You could have been somebody who's like, I saw it at the Public Theater.
Yeah, but, well, now that would hold some weight. But what you wanted was the OBC.
Yeah.
And I saw some of the OBC. Yeah, remember when I met Alexander Hamilton of United States history fame?
Yeah. You went to, like, a thing when there was, like, a psychic there, or, like, a medium. And she, like, brought up all of the dead presidents that you love the most. He wasn't a president.
Yes, he was not a president, but that was, and that's like a whole thing.
Never mind. We're not going to get into my knowledge of American history, which is rough at best, even though I took a lot of American history as a child.
Him not being president is like a major plot point of the show Hamilton, and also in Hamilton's life. So
in his life, the plot of Hamilton's life, yes.
The plot of the life and times of Alexander Hamilton.
Well, in the plot of our lives, we just watched The Juicy Box.
In the plot of our lives. Sounds like The Days of Our Lives.
I really want us to get, I really want to be really good at, like, transitions, and I think I'm nailing it so far.
Oh my god.
Seamless. Today, we watched, today, whatever, we watched the newest episode of Kitchen Nightmares. They were on a, like, 2 week hiatus because of football or whatever.
It was literally the World Series of baseball.
Oh, baseball? I thought it was for football, but it's actually too early in the football season for that to be.
It was literally the World Series.
Who won?
I don't know. I know that the Diamondbacks were playing somebody.
I'd like to audition for the role of kicker.
Courtney, they don't kick in baseball.
Oh my god, you're right. I played softball. I know how baseball works, okay?
Courtney, they don't kick the ball. It's too small.
Alana, can I talk to you over here for a second? Don't embarrass me on my own fucking podcast.
Don't embarrass me in front of all my friends.
These are all my friends. Well, Gordon is back in New York. He's taken a hiatus from traveling.
Don't ask me what our sacrifice was for.
I'm trying to do a podcast.
I'm sorry.
I have to edit this. I'm not editing this. This is going up raw.
It's raw.
It's raw. So Gordon Ramsay is headed back to New York City, and this time he's going to Brooklyn. He started in Queens. Now he's back in Brooklyn. He's in Little Haiti, which I did not know existed, but I am thrilled to know it exists, and I would love to go there.
Yeah, right? You have to go to this place. It's, like, actually non-negotiable. You have to go here.
I was looking up. It is not close to me, but it's, like, not impossible to get to for my place, so...
You have to go. Try. It's now required by law that you go.
Yeah, maybe I'll go on Sunday. I have nothing to do on Sunday. The Juicy Box is owned by Jacques, who also owns the Waffle Box and the Smoke Box. So
he called it the Box.
Point,
he called it the Box Empire, and that made me giggle. That made me smile.
He seems like a really chill dude.
He's so hot. He's so hot. That's sorry, but he is.
That's your opinion. he's a well put together man.
He is a delicious man.
What if he listens to this?
Good. I hope he does. He should know. He probably already knows.
Yeah, he probably already knows.
You don't look like that and not know.
So the Juicy Box, I don't remember when he said it was opened. I think he wanted to say like 2016, 2017, something like that. But in 2019, he gave the keys over to his son, Q, and his daughter, Zappy. Those are both nicknames. I did not write down their real names. That's just what they call them the whole episode, though, so it's fine. Q was only 21 when he took over the restaurant, and Zappy came in to help out, but between the two of them, it's just become like a party hangout spot where they just like drink with their friends. So none of them take the business seriously.
Yeah, it's really appalling.
Yeah, like they're running out of stuff all the time. There was one shot in the very beginning where they're like arguing over the fact that there was like feathers on the chicken wings. And I was like, where are you getting these chicken wings?
Yeah, I think their, like, juicer for the juice bar is broken and has been broken for months.
Yeah, and they're a juice bar. So that's cool.
Word.
No one takes Q seriously because he's not, like, good at his job. Like, I don't like him, like, blatantly. The place is still open and it seems to be doing well. I'm sure he's a lot better now, but he did not redeem himself for me in this episode. I just thought he was like, he was almost there, but we'll get into it.
I had a lot of conflicting feelings. I still do. I still feel entirely two different ways about this individual.
Yeah. Cause part of me like feels for him. Like, yeah, it's hard to like just have your dad give you the keys to a business and then be like, now run it. When you're 21, but also it's common sense that you shouldn't like just drink and take shots every morning when you wake up and then go to work at 2 p.m.
Yes. So, he's clearly a kid who crumbled under the pressure, but yeah, to hand over the keys when you're literally like not yet out of college age with no training or nothing is like, the kid was never set up to succeed. But also he was annoying.
Yeah, because his dad says that, like, Q really wanted this. Like, Q really wanted this to work out, and he really wanted this to be his dream. And he says that in the beginning, he was actually, like, good at it. But over time, he just, like, got lazy, I guess. So now they're in $1 million of debt. Jacques doesn't ever seem to be there, which I'm surprised Gordon didn't question more. But maybe he's busy running the other businesses, which is fair. Like, you have
three
businesses. And so that's the opener. That we're setting the stage. This is the stage. Picture it. A small little like restaurant with bright red booths, a fake fake greener on the walls, and a neon sign in red that says the box stays wet. So that's what we're dealing with.
You can tell these people who, like, don't know how to run a restaurant, but know that people love Instagram.
Yes.
So, like, the restaurant will be, like, being run into the ground, and they'll have a wall with greenery with a neon light for you to take pictures at.
Yeah. It was more for me that the neon sign says the box stays wet.
Yeah, that's some 20-year-old shit for sure.
Yeah. Like, that's a 21-year-old man's decision.
Yeah, or like the sister, who I always thought the sister was older than him, but the fact that she was younger is like, this place is being run by actual children.
Yeah, truly. It's like dad handed the keys to a couple of toddlers and said, have fun, and then just left.
It kind of is. Yeah, like you said, for the dad to never check in, they were never set up to succeed. They just never were. Never would.
Yeah, because, like, I was running three businesses, and two of them were doing well, and one of them clearly wasn't, I feel like I would need to divert a lot more of my attention to the one that wasn't doing well, you know?
Yeah, if the other ones are doing well, then you have to assume that the team that works there is going to be able to be, like, self-sufficient for one day while you leave and go, like, knock some sense into your son.
Yeah, truly. So Gordon arrives, he gets there at 10 a.m., and the place is not open. Which, like, for a restaurant, fair. For a juice bar, those bitches are open at 5 a.m. Like,
yeah, that was unfucking believable.
Like, juice bars, especially if you're next to a gym, which I think they said that they were near a gym, like a Blink Fitness, like, you're gonna have the gym bros in there at 7 a.m. wanting their protein smoothies. Like, you gotta be open.
Exactly. I think someone said literally that sentence you just said.
Yeah. Because you can charge $12 for a juice. That's how you make bank. Like, vegetables are not that expensive.
Yeah. And that's what whoever said it was saying. Like, we used to make fucking bank, and then Q got too sleepy and lazy to come in before 2.
Yeah.
So that's why we're hemorrhaging money.
Yeah. So Gordon comes back at 2. He takes a walk around the neighborhood. He says he's going to take a walk around the block. That's a long fucking block if it took you 4 hours.
I also thought that. He's like, I'm going to take a quick little walk. And 4 hours later, he returns. And I was like, what were you doing? He was probably getting lunch.
Yeah. He went to go get breakfast somewhere. So he arrives back at the place and he walks in and sits down, and Zappy comes out. She's wearing like a pink velour jumpsuit, like literally like a
Juicy
Couture jumpsuit.
I needed her to put her hair up and wear something different.
Yeah, she looked like she was dressed for like going to the movies, not for like waiting tables.
Not to be that bitch, like not to be all boomer about it, but like if that person was taking my order at a restaurant, I'd be like, this isn't a real place.
Yeah. Yeah, because those places are either awful and they usually have nobody in there, but if those places are full, then you know it's okay that they're mean to you because the food is good.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's most places in New York, I feel like. Gordon orders a green juice. That's the first thing he orders. And Zappy goes into the back to make it.
Like, he was given the choice between, like, a fruit juice or a green juice, and, like, he chose wrong.
Yeah.
I always choose the fruit. You can throw in a handful of spinach, but, like, green smoothies are so fucking gross. Green juices are disgusting.
Unless they're the ones that taste like apple, like, overwhelmingly of, like, apple and pineapple, even though there's, like, other shit.
Yeah, because they put stuff in it. But usually it's just, like, charred.
Yeah. So, she goes in the back to make a green juice. But he was like, bitch, the juicer's broken. It's been broken for 6 months. Which, like, I don't know how that didn't register in her brain. Because she should have known that. You can't. So they make him a smoothie instead. But the smoothie is, like, chunky?
Yeah, it's like they blended it for 10 seconds.
It's like they threw kale in a blender and then blended it for 2 seconds. Yeah. And here you go.
Between the two of them, between the brother and the sister, not a single thought. Like, not a single thought. They didn't think about anything.
No, it's literally like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Like,
it was, like unbelievable.
Like, I don't want to be mean, and I know TV is, like, you know, they do their editing and shit, but, like, come on, guys. Like, the social media brothers were better than this, and I hate them.
Seriously. Like, yeah.
At least they have millions of followers on a fucking platform.
Yeah, no, it's painful to watch.
Gordon gets the smoothie. He doesn't really comment on it, but, like, it clearly looks awful. But he does say, like, this is blended. And she's like, but it's a juice. And he's like, but it's blended, so that makes it a smoothie. And then she's like, well, our juicer's broken. And he's like, so you changed the name of the restaurant.
Yeah, this conversation, I took the mental note. I was like, this isn't going to be good. Yeah. This is not going to be good. We're going to have a bad time.
Gordon goes to order other foods. Zappy says that they're out of the red snapper, the turkey, and the sliders. So Gordon orders chicken wings, lemon pepper chicken wings, jerk chicken tacos, and then the salmon Haitian rice. And then, surprise, they're actually not out of Red Snapper. They just got it in that, like, second. And so he gets Red Snapper on there as well. He waits 30 minutes, no food. The tacos are ready. And the chef, the head chef, who I think his name is Steph. I think that's what they were calling him.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, the tacos are ready. Take them to Gordon. Q takes these tacos to a pair of women sitting at the bar. And says, here you go, and then walks away. And then Gordon is like, hey, Zappy, where is any of my food? And she goes back there and they're like, hey, Q, where are the tacos for Gordon? And he's like, I took him to the wrong table. What do you mean?
My head was in my hands.
What do you mean you took Gordon Ramsay's tacos to the wrong table? They're for Gordon Ramsay.
I know. I always have to wonder. I assume whenever we watch these that, like, they know that Gordon is coming. And then it's, like, sometimes a fun choice whether or not they pretend like they don't know Gordon was supposed to be there. This genuinely felt like, oh, I forgot Gordon Ramsay was here.
Like I know he's drunk. He fully admitted that he had taken a shot. He had taken multiple shots on camera. Was he
Which
high, too? Like
fucking believable. To take shots while Gordon is there is un-fucking believable.
While he's waiting for food, too. Like this felt like an episode of Bar Rescue. Like, that's what this felt like.
If it were me, I would have written on the ticket 100 times. Like, this is Gordon Ramsay, don't fuck it up!
Because that's usually what the waiters will do. They'll be like, hey, kitchen, this ticket is Gordon Ramsay's fucking ticket. Don't
He's
fuck
at
it
table
up.
Six. Table six is Gordon Ramsay. He's at table six.
But also,
throw all the other tickets away.
This will come in later, but Zappy's also bad at writing out the tickets. So there's that
Zappy,
too.
I couldn't with her. I couldn't with either one of them.
So then everyone's fighting in the kitchen because Q took the tacos to the wrong fucking table. Gordon decides that he's going to go get his own fucking tacos. He stands up, walks back into the kitchen, looks at everyone, goes, what's going on, guys? And they're like, here's your tacos. And then he takes his tacos back to the table.
I've, like, thought about doing that before. I would never do it, but I've thought about doing it before.
If you were Gordon
Ramsay,
if you were Gordon Ramsay, you could do that.
Being like, hey, do you need help? I can get my own Diet Coke. Like, it's not a problem.
Yeah, like, truly. And then he goes to, like, and then he gets the, I think it's the wings. He gets the wings. And he goes to, like, cut into them with the fork and knife, but it's fucking plastic silverware, and so the fork just, like, breaks off into shards all over the restaurant.
The plastic knives were not good. The plastic utensils.
Because Gordon asks Q, and he's like, when somebody orders a steak and they can't cut it, like, what do you do? And Q is like, you know, we just give them the plastic fork and knife and hope for the best.
I just, if table service is happening, you need reusable silverware. If it is fast service, where you go up to a counter and you pay at a counter and they call your name and you pick it up at the counter, then you can have plastic silverware. That's my philosophy.
Or even if it's like a bar. Like, if you were just a bar and you had plastic forks and knives, I don't fucking care. It's a bar. This is a restaurant. You are a restaurant. Have a fork. They're not that expensive.
Honestly, if they got rid of the whole juice part, they could have just been, like, a fast, casual Haitian place, and I'd go there.
Yeah.
I would go for that.
Like, that would be a great place to just get, like, takeout, you know?
Yeah, I would absolutely do that. You know, like, an L&L Hawaiian barbecue setup?
Well, there's also, like, tons of restaurants in New York that do that. Like, there's, like, 3 Chinese restaurants. You can't sit down to eat in there. You literally just order the food, and you pick it up, and you leave. Like,
yeah.
There are places that are like that.
Yeah, and then they can just hang out in the actual restaurant when there are no guests there.
Yeah.
Then everyone's happy.
Yeah. Win-win. That's not this model, though. So he gets the wings. They taste store-bought. He gets the jerk chicken taco. It's boring, dry. The tortilla, it literally looks like a tortilla from Safeway. Like, it doesn't look like a real tortilla. He gets the Haitian rice and the salmon. That's also dry. And then he gets the red snapper, which he did actually like, and it's because they use this special sauce called poppy sauce, which is a sauce that is like a bunch of different herbs and peppers that Q's grandfather invented that they use on things. So,
dude, the snapper looked delicious. I was like, I would eat the fuck out of that. I watched this while I was hungry.
That's a mistake.
Well, oftentimes it's not because, like, the food's gross.
But by the end, the food is usually good.
But no, that red snapper, I was like, I would dig the fuck into that right now, for sure.
I could use a little snapper.
A little snapper?
My TV autoplayed from Kitchen Nightmares to 24 Hours to Hell and Back, and it was this episode where they were cooking up this, like, halibut stew, and it looked really good.
Dude, fish stew fucking slaps.
Yeah, I've never really had it, I think, because fish stuff kind of freaks me out when it's not just, like, salmon or tuna.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
I know.
Fish is so good.
I know. I'm trying to expand.
My dad makes this seafood casserole that is so delicious. You wouldn't be able to have it because there's shellfish in it. But it's got, like, he puts different kinds of fish in it. And he'll put, like, a whitefish and sometimes, like, a salmon. And, like, scallops and shrimp and, like, bay seasoning and other stuff that's so delicious. It looks like fucking gruel. It looks like a nightmare. It is, like, gray. And, like, everything is, like, a uniform color beige. It looks like a fucking nightmare. Oh, but it's no. It's so good. It looks like what they would feed you on, like, a ship going from England to America in the 1600s. It looks like you would eat it on the Mayflower.
Oh, no.
It's a textural nightmare, but it tastes, Courtney, so goddamn good.
You know, I believe you. We used to make, I mean, we did kind of call it gruel, but it was, like, leftover stew, and it was, like, ground beef, pasta, and then, like, whatever veggies were in the fridge, and, like, whatever cans of beans and tomatoes were in the cupboard. And, you know, you make just, like, a stew with that, and you call it gruel, yeah. And it tastes good.
It's, like, the first iterations of girl dinner.
Yeah. Gruel dinner.
But instead of separate little things, you combine all the little things together.
I don't know why you said casserole and that reminded me of it. I really want to try to make a sushi bake at some point.
I make those all the goddamn time.
I want to try one. They look yummy.
They're so good. There's 100 recipes out there. I've been trying to sub the white rice with brown rice, and I haven't been able to get the consistency quite right with the timing. But they're so good. You get a bunch of like seaweed to scoop it into, but yeah, you got the white rice and, like, the seaweed layer and the imitation crab. I like to put little salmon cubes in it, and you want to make sure you get, like, the specific Japanese mayo. Oh my god, it's so good. It's so good. Sushi bakes are so good, and they're not that hard.
Yeah, because I probably would also want to make, like, those little fried, you know at that Kura sushi place, the fried rice salmon rolls with, like, the crispy rice. I want crispy rice,
yeah.
Too. I want crispy rice. I love crispy rice.
Yeah, sushi bakes, that shit. I make one, like, once a week, and it feeds me for, like, 3 days.
Yeah, I gotta do that. I just made a bunch of stew, so that's what I'm gonna eat for the next 3 days. Anyways, Q and Gordon have a brief meeting where Q admits that he takes a shot in the morning, and then in the talking head, he's like, I thought Gordon would like me because of my energy, but he doesn't really like me, and that makes me feel terrible. It's like, dude.
One of my favorite parts of the whole episode was when Zappy first took his order, his, like, disastrous order, when he was like, this is not juice, this is a smoothie. And she was like, I know. And she walked back and she was like, he loves me.
Yeah. Just the confidence. The undeserved
he
confidence.
Loves me.
So Gordon then sits down with Jacques, the dad, and Jacques says that 2 years ago Q was very gung-ho that they used to open at 7 a.m but Q doesn't want to get up that early, and now Q and Zappy just kind of party. They're losing money every month, and then the biggest bombshell is that the doors will close in 60 days if they can't, like, start making a profit.
Which is just, like, secret information that the dad was just, like, keeping to himself. I'm like, you gotta tell him that, bruh. You can't keep that just to you.
Yeah, like, what were you gonna do? Like, on day 59, you're gonna be like, sorry, guys, tomorrow's the last day. We're closing up shop. Like, what?
Like, I guess, like, the repo men were gonna show up on day 60, and Q was gonna be like, hey, what's up? You want a shot? You know? Like,
yeah, like, what the fuck? And then Gordon is like, well, you need to make the decision that if you want your son to actually run this place or not. So, drama.
Yeah.
So then, this is going to be like a series of one-on-ones that Gordon has. So Gordon talks to Jacques. Then Gordon sits down with Zappy. And he's like, Zappy, I'm mad at you. You're fucking up. Why are you here if you're not going to help? And she's like, well, I just want to hang out and drink and party. And Gordon's like, no,
I appreciated her candor here.
She was honest.
I was like,
she was being honest.
Like, the problem is when they're like, I do everything great. And she was like, nope, I fuck around on purpose. And I was like, I respect that, actually.
Yeah, and he's like, well, if you don't want to fucking be here, then don't fucking be here. Because right now you're getting paid to do nothing, basically. So, step up. And then Gordon sits down with Q. And the first thing Gordon brings up is his own daddy issues, which is always fun. Gordon famously has a terrible relationship with his own father and never actually, like, had a relationship with his father. And so he brings that up to make a point to Q to be like, hey, you actually have a dad who's here supporting you and caring about you, and you're fucking it up. So fix yourself. And then Q turns around and is like, I'm here 7 days a week trying my best, but it's hard to do that when I don't have the team to help me. And I was like, you're not going to turn this around on the fucking people in the back who are just, like, hoping that you can tell them what to do for once. Like,
oh, yeah. I was big mad. You don't get, like, Snapper that looks good without, like, that wouldn't happen if it wasn't a good team that would try if they could, you know?
That woman who's back there with the little chef hat on and the red coat, she is probably cooking everything beautifully. Like,
yeah.
The problem is,
I believe that Steph probably was too.
Yeah. Like, the cooks seem to be, like, very capable people and very good at their jobs.
Yeah. Especially considering more information we'll get to later. Once Gordon watches dinner service, I was like, I can't believe they're still here, you know? Yeah.
So then Gordon drops the 60-day bombshell on Q because Q didn't know, and Q is like, fuck, dude, gotta step it up. Step your pussy up. So, also, in all of the, like, commercial breaks, when everybody came back from one, the overdub of Gordon would be like, it's the next day with Juicy Box Restaurant. And I'm like, no, this is the same day, my guy. Like, we're still in the same day. So, first dinner service. This dinner service is probably the most chaotic dinner service I have ever seen. I have watched a lot of cooking shows. I have watched every episode of Kitchen Nightmares, 24 Hours to Hell and Back, Hell's Kitchen, basically, Bar Rescue. I have no idea how they were functioning. How did they get a single morsel of food out of that fucking kitchen? Is a miracle.
My jaw was on the motherfucking floor for the entire time. It is. It's a fucking miracle that snapper that tasted good made it to where it was that one time. It's a miracle. The stars aligned for Gordon that day.
Because, like, this is a dinner service at a restaurant where Gordon Ramsay is at. And it is still empty, relatively. There's still, like, nobody there. Which means that, like, people don't go there for the food. So, like, there's, like, nobody in the restaurant, and they can't get any dishes out, and it's all, like, nobody sends anything back, but it's because they can't get anything out. Like, this one table got their entrees before their appetizers, because Zappy, yeah, you go over the ticketing system.
No, we have to break down, and it's because, like, when you go to a restaurant, usually there is, like, you know, either some kind of, POS system, where either it's a computer system where it sends back to the kitchen, or you handwrite the tickets and you put them back there, and then they get organized by, like, station. They have no stations. They have nothing. No. There's like you write down as a server the ticket and you hang it up somewhere, and then it, like, disappears into the abyss. Like, there is no sense of, like, now the cooks know what to cook. I don't even know how they were doing anything at all.
Because then also they don't know what's appetizer and what's entree, because there's nothing differentiated on that ticket. And so tables are getting their entrees before their appetizers, and then having to, like, figure that situation out. And then Zappy comes back with this plate of rice and is like, hey, why is there no chicken on this rice or this pasta, whatever the fuck it was? And it's because she forgot to write add grilled chicken to it, because she doesn't know how to write her tickets right.
So let me explain just, like, how the whole thing works at my restaurant. Yes. So you're a server. You talk to a table, and the table says, I want this appetizer, and then I want this entree. I want my calamari, and then I want my steak. So then you go to usually what's a computer. You usually go to a computer in this day and age. When it's not a computer and it's written on paper, I don't even know where to begin with that. So I just have to assume. I'm surprised that Gordon didn't, like, update them with a POS system. That's shocking to me. Now, theoretically, the cooks should have a concept of, like, what's on the menu, and they should have an idea of actually what is an appetizer and what is an entree. At the place that I worked at, those things weren't necessarily differentiated on the ticket, but either the cooks would know, or you would ring in the appetizer on a separate ticket and hold off on sending the entree until you were ready to send in the entree, so it was timed appropriately. Whatever order you send it in, once you hit the button that says go, send to kitchen, then the kitchen is set up in stations. There is, like, the fry station where you fry shit. There's the grill where you grill shit. And then there's, like, a salad station where they make cold stuff. And depending on what you fired in, the ticket goes to those different stations. So theoretically, the guy who's on the fryer doesn't get a ticket that says three salads, because why would he? And then usually where the catastrophic meltdown happens is that everybody's getting different tickets for, like, the same table, but then they're not talking about, like, now we're all making the stuff for table 14. Oftentimes they'll rocket out, like, 18 salads for five different tables before the fry guy starts on one of the other ones. And that's usually where the meltdown happens. There was no room for that here. It didn't even seem like the cooks, like, it seemed like Steph got the tickets. It seemed like there was one place where the tickets went, and then the actual line cooks never saw that ticket. I think it was all just verbal. I think the only way they made anything was because Steph would look at a ticket and say, okay, guys, I now need 8 entrees, which is bananas to me. That's insane to not have a visual of what you need to make, to have it all be verbal. I would never process anything ever.
Yeah, because it looks like that the expedite line is, like, a counter near the door of the kitchen, and then the actual kitchen is all behind Steph. And so he's, like, looking at tickets, shouting back to them, I need this stuff for this table. They just have to say, yes, chef, make it, give it to him, and then he finishes it up and hands it off for the runners. Which is horrible, but it's also, like... I mean, it's a small place. Like, I don't think they're that slammed, but I mean, relaunch night was a whole weird thing. So we'll get into that more.
Yeah, but I was like, I don't know how. And here's the other thing, Courtney. Here's the other thing. This is the other thing where I was like, maybe justice for Q a little bit, because Q had been in charge of the restaurant for 2 years. What did the restaurant look like before then?
Yeah,
you know, when it was successful and Jacques had it. Theoretically, like, unless they had a complete turnover of every single staff member, there must have been something in place. Like, it's like we're starting completely cold. Like, what was it like before Jacques handed it over? And did Q just be like, well, burn all that, you know? Yeah. Like, it just seemed like there should have already been some sort of protocol to follow. And if there wasn't, then Jacques should have set him up with it. It's insane. You know, that's... I was like, you know, Q is an idiot, but if Q is 20 years old and has never seen how a restaurant works, also, how would he know?
Yeah. I mean, he said at one point...
There's some kind of catastrophic, like, meltdown happening here, where someone didn't teach somebody, you know? Like,
yeah, there's a lack of context to a lot of this that I think would be helpful to knowing what's actually going on at the root of this.
Yeah, because he's an idiot, but also you don't know what you don't know. So then there's, like, it would be nice if these are the same line cooks that worked, you know, in the previous regime. Would have been nice if someone would have been like, hey, kid, this is how it was before. How do you feel about that? You know, just someone could have helped him maybe once.
Yeah, I also see a world, because they all look to be about the same age. I also see a world where Q just hired a bunch of his friends and then just kind of hoped for the best.
Yeah, you're right. That's also a very strong possibility.
Was just like, y'all are my friends. Like, we'll bang this out and it'll be great. And I'll trust you and you.
Yeah,
trust
come
me
roll
and,
through. We'll get drunk.
Yeah, we'll party. We'll have a great time. And that's not how restaurants work.
Yeah, so that's why I feel so complicated, because I'm like, it's yeah, he's stupid, but also, where there was no hope for him to start.
Yeah. So Gordon's in the kitchen watching everything kind of melt down during dinner service because there's no systems for anything. And he walks up to one of the cooks who's holding like a jar of mayonnaise. And he's like, hey, that mayonnaise is like gray. You can't use that. And
oh my God, this part. You're so right. Oh my God.
And then he's like, where'd you get that from? And the cook is like, oh, the walk-in fridge downstairs. And he's like, what's... There's a walk-in fridge downstairs. And they're like, yeah, it's broken. It hasn't worked in 6 months. Which is then... My brain is like, so where are you keeping the chicken? Like...
I just... I'll hold back until you tell more. I couldn't... I was beside myself.
Gordon is like... Christ almighty, give me strength. He should have done the sign of the cross. And then he, like, goes downstairs and there's, like, a big wooden wall with the fridge door on it. And he opens up the fridge and it is, like, he literally takes the temperature of the fridge and it's 73 degrees inside the fridge. He pulls out all of these, like, boxes of veggies. He picks up a pepper and is like, it's so hot in the fridge that the pepper has roasted. And it was like...
I was like vomiting in my mouth.
It was like a slow roasted pepper. And then he picks up these onions that are mummified. Like, literally mummified. Like, they've turned into dirt, basically. They're so old. And this was the point where I was like, Q can't run a restaurant. Like, he should not be... Like,
yeah,
people are gonna die if he's in charge of a restaurant.
I thought that too. I was like, they should have like canceled this episode and just like shut the place down. To really not think like, oh, I don't need to fix the fridge. That's unbelievable.
Like, not fixing the juicer is one thing. If you're like, we're strapped for cash, nobody's buying juice anyways, we'll push smoothies, whatever. To not fix the fridge is insane. You need that for literally everything you do.
I guess it makes more sense that they were like running out of stuff all the time. It sounds like the line cooks at least had the sense to like not use those things.
Yeah, I guess it,
because at least Gordon wasn't like eating the food and being like, this tastes rotten. Because at least they had the sense to not use it.
Yeah, it,
but then what a waste.
My thought there is that then they're going they have to go out to the store every morning to buy the fish, the chicken, the beef, whatever the fuck they need for the day. And
I think that's what they said in the beginning that they did.
Well, but they didn't say it was because the fridge was broken. I thought it was just because Q was bad at purchasing. Like,
well, he's probably that too.
I mean, yeah. But yeah, so Gordon takes Q downstairs and is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Fucking lays into him about this fridge. And then...
Good. He should have spanked him.
Weirdly, though, this was... Okay, enough of that.
What? Nothing.
Shut up. Weirdly, though, this was the one episode where Gordon didn't shut it down. So...
He just should have.
He really should have. But we cut then to Gordon basically... He basically just is like, everyone out. We're gonna staff meeting. Emergency staff meeting, like, right now. I have never seen Gordon so flabbergasted on TV in my life. Like, he is, like, at loss. He's at loss for words. He is walking like a tiger in a cage in front of all of these people, just, like, trying to articulate how fucking insane all of this is. Because he's like, I have never in my life seen a restaurant working with no systems, no fridge, no nothing, no equipment. And you somehow get food out, but it's, I don't get it.
I liked when he, like, walked up like up the stairs in like a fugue state when he was just like 74 degrees, 74 degrees, 74 degrees with like a twitching eye.
And then Gordon looks at Q and is like, what do you have to say for yourself? And Q literally comes back with the, you know, it is what it is.
Imagine having Gordon Ramsay in front of you.
I'm crying.
And you're just like, ah, no, man. Whatever.
You're like, I don't know. I guess it just is what it is sometimes, you know? It's like, no.
It do be that way sometimes, you know?
Don't think it be like G-Ram. That. G-Ram.
G-Dog. DJ Ramsay, you get
oh
it.
My God. And then it's at that moment Gordon looks at everyone and is like, everyone get the fuck out of here except for Zappy and Q. Even the cameramen.
It's like,
get out.
It's like, you have to go.
Everyone has to clear out. I gotta talk to these fuckers.
Yeah.
And so we get this like security cam footage of Gordon talking to Q and Zappy, and he's laying into them and it's just like, what are you gonna do to fix this? And Zappy kind of cries and is like, you know, I wanted to help, but I know I fucked up, but I should be in school right now, but I don't know what I'm doing here. And then Q is like, yeah, I get it, like, but also I was like, I'm not convinced that this is going to do anything. Like,
yeah.
None of it was convincing. Because
you know how people that age are so good at just the, I will say, whatever it takes to get this conversation over.
Yeah.
You know, when the parents lecture and you're just like, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah,
yep.
I'm the master of that. like, that's what they were doing. They were just yes-anding until Gordon was like, okay, cool, we're good now.
Yeah, they were just yes-siring.
So, then the next morning, bright and early, 5 a.m., Gordon drags Q to his hotel gym, it looks like.
Yeah, it does. That is what it looks like.
It's like a hotel gym. And he's like, so, the restaurant's going to open at 7 a.m. now, and you're going to have to get up at 5:30 every day to be there to open the restaurant. So, have fun.
Yeah.
And Gordon.
Which, like, good. The good. That's what it needed to happen.
Yeah, like, if you want to run a restaurant like this, you do have to wake up early. Like, any type of cafe, juice bar, anything that serves things people want bright and early in the morning on their way to work or their way home from the gym, you're going to have to open at 7 a.m. Like, I'm sorry. It sucks. But you're going to have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you should be running, like, a nighttime restaurant or a lunch spot.
Yeah. A bar.
A bar.
Like a dive bar. They should actually be running a dive bar.
That is probably what they would be better at, actually. Because they could actually, like, party there and have fun. And it would be probably fine. Well, what are you gonna do? So then we're at relaunch night. We have a beautiful new restaurant. It's so much brighter and, like, fun to look at. I love all the plants everywhere. And it's, like, red. It's cool. I like it. It's fun. It's funky fresh. And they also got a new juicer.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thank God.
They can make juice now. Gordon literally introduces, like, literally, like, shows everyone into the restaurant and hands them all pineapple juices and is like, look, juice. A thing that you should have. Not only is the juicer there, the fridge is fixed. They have silverware now.
Thank God. Thank God.
You know, just little things, you know? Little things really make all the difference. So then Gordon is like, and whenever you're feeling unmotivated or whatever, just look at this picture of Poppy. And they put up a picture of the grandfather, like, above the juicer. And then Gordon pulls out his phone and puts Poppy on FaceTime.
This, it did make me tear up a little bit.
It was very sweet.
I was like, this is beautiful.
Then they all changed into their new, like, shirts, which I did like. Those shirts are cute. Like, the bright colors and everything. The Juicy Box shirts. I
agree.
Bet they sell them. I'd buy one. I might buy one if I go there. So they have a VIP coming that night. It's a reporter from the Haitian Times. And as dinner service gets started, everything is going well. People like the food. They do have a to-go option, though. So there are people walking in to order juices and sandwiches to go. And that overwhelms the kitchen at a certain point. And then I truly don't know how any of this got resolved, because it was like a solid 4 minutes of Gordon telling Steph to get it together and Steph just like mumbling through the tickets and like trying to communicate. And then like at the last second, Q comes in and is like, man, I believe in you. And then Steph is like, and then it's all fine. And then everything's fine. Like,
yeah, this was another
the power
like
of editing.
It is. And it's weird to me that, like, they treat the line cooks like they're just, like, NPCs.
Yeah.
Like, they can't do anything until you tell them. They're just going to walk around. They're just going to stand there and, like, walk into walls until you give them a task.
But no, if I was a line cook and my expediter was, like, not giving me anything, I'd walk up to him and be like, tell me something to fucking do. Like, please. I cannot just stand
yeah,
here.
Yeah, either.
Like, are there apps I should
yeah,
hire?
Either they're lazy. Like, yeah, either they're lazy and they want to just, like, stand around, which this they didn't seem like
no.
that, because then they would make good food. Or I would be like, hey, what's next? Do you need help? You good, bud?
Which, like, the only shots of them we got in the kitchen were them just, like, kind of looking towards Steph. So, like, I'm sure they were actually
they
doing
were, like,
things.
At attention, like, yeah. Yeah.
But the editing on this was weird. So, wait times are getting long. There's a quick pep talk. I guess it works. And then everything's fine. Also, this is when I noticed that Jacques was wearing a necklace that just said gumbo in all caps.
I noticed that immediately. And I almost texted you. And I was like, I kind of want one.
I was like, I'll take a gumbo. Is he selling them? Like, that's merch. Like,
I fucking love gumbo,
yeah,
man. Like, gumbo's so good.
So, relaunch is overall a success. Everyone has a great time. Q stepped up. He did his job. I don't know. They didn't really film him doing anything. So that's also why I'm skeptical. It's like, I feel like if he was like actually doing more, we would have seen more of it, you know? But I don't know.
Yeah. Because, his role is still unclear. Just general manager, I guess.
No, he's like the owner.
Yeah. But, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
So,
you know?
Gordon's solution to this confusion is to bring in the head chef of the One World Observatory restaurant and have him train them all. Which, I guess is...
Which, like, thank
yeah.
God.
And I hope it worked, because they are still open and they have 4.5 stars on Google reviews. So they seem to be doing pretty well. At least...
So, it looked like their hours said from 11 a.m., to 2 a.m., which is interesting because they're a juice bar.
Yeah, maybe he changed them. Yeah, that's weird.
I have to assume they changed them.
On Monday,
yeah.
It's...
Which I think...
On Monday, it...
Those are hours that work better for them.
Yeah. On Monday, it's 5 p.m. to 1 a.m., which is odd.
That is really odd. I've never in my life wanted a juice after 11 a.m.
Yeah. And even then, like... I feel like I drink green juices purely because I'm like, I haven't eaten a vegetable in a week. Let me get like 5 down in one quick shot. Like,
yeah, and you do it in the morning. Yeah. Because why would you do that shit at 5 p.m.?
Yeah.
Why would I have a green juice at dinner when I could just like saute up some spinach and asparagus, you know?
I feel like I've done that, but only because I'll like go to Trader Joe's and they have the good green juices there. And I'll just like drink it on my way home if I'm hungry.
I get that.
But I also eat on the go a lot. Like, I'm rarely eating at a table in my house. I also don't have a table in my house, because where would I put it? Anyways, that was the end of the episode. They're doing well. Yeah.
Against all odds.
Somehow, some way, they continue to get food out of the kitchen. And I can't wait to go and see it myself. I bet he did hire a general manager or somebody to, like, actually take it over a little bit more.
It is very hard to be the general manager and also the owner, because, like, one of them, I find the distinction to be, like, the payroll business stuff versus, like, the being on site. And it's just hard to do both.
Yeah.
It's hard to do both.
Yeah, and I feel like the point of a general manager is also so, like, you can have a couple days off, and then you come in and you'd manage on, like, a Sunday, so they can have a Sunday off or something, like...
Yeah, or, like, an assistant manager, yeah. Or at my restaurant, it'll be, like, a senior server who's been given the special privilege to, like, have a key.
Ooh.
That can, like, answer questions if the manager is not there. Because, yeah, the managers need a day off, too.
Everyone needs a day off. Including you, listener.
Do it. Call out of work. Quit your
Quit
job.
Quit your job. I wish I could. Anyways... What a fun episode. What a rousing episode of Ramsay's Recaps.
I feel like it was about time. This is the most excited I've been since Chef Bobby.
Chef Bobby. The gangsta.
Felt like we...
Culinary gangsta.
Not that the last episodes were boring, but they felt boring compared to this. I was like, here we go, baby. Back
yeah,
in it.
Because, you know, the thing we want out of Kitchen Nightmares is the drama. Like, that's what people love about the old Kitchen Nightmares, is that it's, like, so over the top.
Exactly.
So to finally have yeah. like, Gordon absolutely losing his mind is incredible.
Oh my god, it's about time. We've earned
it. It's
this.
Even better when it's Gordon just being so fucking taken aback by what he's seeing.
74. 74. 74.
He's gonna have nightmares about this place.
With like head twitching, eye twitching, seizing. 74.
At least the kitchen was clean. Like,
yeah, again, against all fucking odds, this restaurant was not even functioning, but like, it shouldn't have. I don't know what miracle, I don't know what magic was with them.
It was truly running on like sticks, duct tape.
God was in that Chili's.
Sticks, duct tape, and open a
God
prayer.
God was in this Chili's tonight.
Oh my god. Well, thank you everyone for listening. To everyone at the Juicy Box, I hope you're all doing well, and I can't wait to come try your juices and food. Those chicken wings look really good, so I will be trying those.
I kind of want to, maybe I'll fly in and go with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, we'll see a show.
Word.
We can go to the Juicy Box, go to the Bel Air Diner, and then go to Gordon Ramsay's Fish and Chips in Times Square. We'll do the whole tour.
Amazing. That's going to be it. That's going to be a day where I don't show.
It's a lot of fried food, yeah.
That's going to stop me the fuck up, let me
yeah,
tell you.
Breakfast at a diner, lunch at a juice bar, dinner at a fish and chips place.
Well, the green juice might help.
Yeah, true. True that.
And then I'll shit my pants at the Broadway show.
Hell yeah. In the middle of Sweeney Todd. I know, we'd be seeing Spam a lot. That's what we would see.
Or Merrily We Roll Along.
Oh, I do want to see Merrily. Everyone, after you listen to this, go watch the Vanity Fair lie detector episode with Jonathan Groff and Daniel.
And Lindsay Mendez. I want them to have like a reality show or like a podcast. I want it like, where can we get more content from
them?
Yeah,
those three specifically together, incredible. They're incredible.
Because the show must be bananas good, but I want to hear them do, like, unscripted content. I want to watch their YouTube channel. Like, I would subscribe. I want to see them do whatever. I want to see them on, like, Vogue's 73 questions or whatever. Like,
oh my
I want
God.
To see it all.
They're just, like, it's the three of them walking you through the theater as they do it.
I would watch yeah. that. I would watch anything that they put out.
Or what's the, is it Wired who does the Google searches for your name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you want to see us on any of those shows, tell them. Anyways, thanks for listening to another exciting episode of Ramsay's Recaps. What a fun one. What a good time.
What a time to be alive.
I hope y'all are having a wonderful November. Wish me a happy belated birthday. Thank you.
Don't worry. It was put on our Instagram.
No, thank you, everyone, for wishing me a happy birthday. I appreciate it. And next week, we'll be back with another episode. So stay tuned.
The preview looked bananas.
It looked bananas.
The preview looked like... like Chef Bobby, but more.
Yeah, this one's gonna have a couple breaking up in it for sure, so that's gonna be good to see.
It was some guy who was like, yeah, leave me alone.
And then the preview ended with Gordon going, so have you set a date for the wedding? And the woman going, I don't know if I want to marry him anymore.
Like, oh, it's gonna be so good. Drama. I can't wait to yell.
Maybe there'll be a wedding in this episode like there was in the other episode.
I hope so.